Greetings, film pals. I bid you welcome to the Cinematic Crypt, a motion picture podcast hosted by Movie John's old sport and classic corner, Rosalie Kicks, otherwise known as Betzina Belfry. Each episode, I travel 6 feet under and pry open a coffin of one of my favorite Hollywood corpses and perform a post-watch examination of one of their forgotten films. Lend me your ears and listen along as I summon the spirits of Hollywood's dearly departed and uncover your next favorite film from the grave. Creepies. Today we won't be descending into the crypt. Instead, we will be heading out. I invite you to saunter through the forest under the pale moonlight and traipse through the wintry wonderland to drop in on our favorite village doctor, Dr. Ashley Jane Carruthers, in celebration of Cryptmas. Now, before we venture out in the frightful weather, I will begin first with reading my obituary, a notice of sorts of what I have been up to since we last spent time together. Frankly, my dear, I have found myself in a constant state of catch-up since October, and I simply can't dig myself out of the hole I fell into. With the holiday season upon us, I am very much looking forward to slowing down over the next couple weeks, enjoying some Cryptmas cookies and hot chocolate from the comfort of my bunk. Lately, I have been contemplating how I want to start the upcoming year, and I have decided in 2025, I really want to challenge myself to be more mindful about simply existing. Meaning, taking time to stop for a breath, enjoy the quiet moments, move a bit slower, and be more tactful, and remind myself that it is okay to take a nap. I also would like to get more witchy and find my coven. Essentially, I want to try my darndest to not always be the little white rabbit all the damn time.
Black Christmas.
There was a little girl murdered over in the park tonight.
Yes, I heard.
A high school girl's been murdered. Mr. Harrison's daughter is missing. And now at the house where she lives, the other girls are getting obscene phone calls.
Hello?
What are you doing?
Remember those idyllic scenes out of your childhood? Crisp winter nights, sleigh bells, crackling Yule logs? Remember those. Remember them well. After Black Christmas, they'll never be the same again. Black Christmas, starring Olivia Hussey, Keir Dulley, Margot Kidder, and starring John Saxon as Lieutenant Fuller. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
And now our feature presentation.
Creepies. Time to grab your Sherpa-lined cape, your favorite toque, and warmest mittens. Cause goblins and ghouls, it's cold outside. Follow me, if you dare, down the winding path through the woods. Once we reach the clearing, we will mosey through the cemetery, go 13 steps past the Karloff Mausoleum, and this is where we shall find my dear friend, Dr. Carruthers' morgue.
Good evening, old chap. Happy holidays. It smells absolutely splendid in here. Have you been baking?
Oh, thank you. Do. Come in. Come in. Oh, so you can smell the baking, can you? I'm actually making my signature fruit cake. It's an old family recipe. I can't tell you what's in it, but I can tell you that some of the ingredients might surprise you.
Ooh, marvelous. I can't wait to try a slice of it. Is it an old family delicacy?
It is.
And your tree, it's so exquisite. I love how you have decided to use some of those spare limbs that were cluttering your workspace. Some of them appear to have a sparkle. Were you dabbling with glitter again?
Oh, thank you for noticing. I have just been waiting for anyone to notice. I will admit I might have gotten carried away with the glitter. I even included it in my fruitcake recipe, just for extra zest.
Wow, it pleases me that not only will I be sparkling on the outside, but the inside too.
Hey, 'tis the reason for the season.
Well, now before I forget, I did bring you a little something. Ooh. Now, it's not our typical type of undead fare that I drag in here, so there's no worry about it decomposing. I figured with it being Christmas Eve and all, it's time to be festive and merry, and I may not have drug a corpse here this evening, but believe me, I was tempted to. I actually lifted the lid of a fresh grave I walked by on the way here. There's always next time for slicing and dicing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, wow, for me? You brought me a present. You shouldn't have. Shall I wait until Christmas Eve, or should I open it now?
Oh, open it now. No sense in waiting. I mean, you never know when your time is up.
Okay, let's see here. Oh, wow. It's fab, and I love the color. Thank you so much. You know, I thought I heard a ringing coming from your bag.
That's right. It's a classic rotary phone. Just like the one in the classic Creepy Holiday 1974 flick, Black Christmas.
Wow. I am dazzled. This is just what I've been wanting. Now I can call the Nintendo tip line. I can call the Freddy Krueger hotline. Ooh, and the pizza man.
That just sounds splendid.
Yes.
I thought a landline would be the perfect addition to your morgue. This way, if one of your undead pals out in the cemetery needs something, like a spot of tea or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, they can give you a ring. Obviously, a mobile phone does not work 6 feet under. You need to be hardwired in.
Yeah, you know, this is very true. The mobile service down here is, well, dead. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And I'm so glad you like your gift, old chap. There is, however, something I must warn you about. Uh-huh. The peddler that I purchased this specific phone from said it actually may be haunted.
Oh, well, then this is even better than I could have imagined. This is so spooky. Well, go on.
Well, they said that on Christmas Eve, at the stroke of midnight, the phone will ring a total of 3 times. And it is important that each time it rings, you answer. For the voice on the other end does not necessarily mean any harm. But if you don't speak to them, the entity could become quite unruly and maybe even conduct sinister mischief, mayhem.
Oh, wow. I guess I never considered the fact that the phone could receive calls. I kind of only wanted to make them. I don't know if I like that feature.
Yes, it does work 2 ways, old chap. Hmm. I mean, there's a downside to everything.
I suppose.
However, I thought you said you like the film Black Christmas. It is a famed Canadian slasher after all, and the whole plot deals with a sinister phone call.
Well, you're right, and I do. I actually love Black Christmas. From start to finish, I'm hooked.
Yes, it's quite the magical little Christmas picture.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Black Christmas, let's dissect this flick for a little bit. It's, I find, just some cheerful conversation to have while we sip our hot chocolate.
You know, I would be delighted to, because I only just recently rewatched this gem, so let's talk about it.
For those crypt dwellers that have not seen the motion picture, it tells the tale of a group of sorority sisters at the holiday season that receive menacing phone calls from an unknown stalker. One by one, the girls start to disappear. Isn't that intro, old chap, one of the scariest moments ever put to celluloid?
Hey, who left the goddamn front door open?
It feels menacing right from the start. We have that shot of the house, and it lasts for just long enough to feel quite eerie. And then there's that spooky music as the camera shakily approaches the house, tethered to whatever deep breathing creeper is there. It's so scary.
Yes, the deep breathing is so unsettling. And no matter how many times I view this picture, when I hear the bell chime at the start of the film and the song Silent Night kicks in, I get chills up and down my spine. It is so creepy and extremely troubling as we are witnessing the point of view of someone outside this home, and we know the door is unlocked. And this mystery person, they're just meandering about under the pale moonlight.
Oh, I know, it's chilling. And I love that the first line of dialogue in the film is, "Hey, who let the goddamn door open?" Because, folks, this is the winter in Canada. The doors stay closed. And also, actually, just don't only close the door, lock it. As well as all the windows.
I agree. I feel if I would have left the door open as a child, I would not be here today.
No, you wouldn't.
Because my father and the heating bill. Yes, the static shot is such an excellent choice from the filmmaker Bob Clark and his cinematographer Reginald H. Morris. I feel showing a house like this in this type of particular neighborhood, it could honestly be anywhere, and it's a reminder that this type of story could happen in any place.
That's so true. In fact, this could be your neighborhood, dear listener, or even your street, or even your home.
Yeah. You should go pause and make sure the door is locked.
Lock that door.
And speaking of the cinematographer, Harris would serve as director of photography on Bob Clark's other holiday tale, A Christmas Story, which this really fascinates me, that these two films were made by the same director, but they could not be more different. I love it.
Oh, you know what? I didn't know that. And to be honest, I haven't actually seen A Christmas Story. But I know the main actor in it, Peter Billingsley, is mostly known for that role. But might I take a moment and praise his performance in the, I think, Oscar-winning film, 1985's The Dirt Bike Kid, where he buys a magical flying dirt bike. Anyway, I digress. I do love that this pair would deliver two Christmas classics with very different vibes. I love that.
Wow, so I have never heard of The Dirt Bike Kid, but that sounds absolutely amazing. I need to find this.
You gotta.
And you gotta watch A Christmas Story.
Okay, let's have a pact. I'll watch that and you watch The Dirt Bike Kid.
You don't know about the major award.
No, I know nothing.
So you'll learn. You'll learn. Yes, something I'm curious about, given that that Black Christmas was shot in Canada and features some of the surroundings of University of Toronto, did you recognize any of the locations? I know you're familiar with the great land up north.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you would ask. So I know the general area of where this sorority house is, but it's a little bit farther north from where I usually am, but in recent pictures, it doesn't look as spooky, which is a bummer. However, I do know that Baby Peter's very chaotic and very sweaty piano recital was filmed at Trinity College on campus. And most notably, every time I stroll through Hart House, I think of this flick. So you know the scene where Claire's father gets Crean with the snowball to the face?
Yes.
Okay, so that is shot at the foot of Soldier's Tower by Hart House, one of my favorite historic U of T locations, and one that I walk through every week. And funnily enough, this is the second time we have mentioned Hart House on the Crypt, because Hart House is where we mentioned our beloved David Manners.
Connection
had his premier theatric performance. So, naturally, it's a magical place. So, I mean, I know this isn't a corpse connection. It's more like a setting connection. That doesn't have the same ring to it, but we'll have to think of a better name for that.
Well, I will allow it as a corpse connection.
Okay.
It is referring back to David. When I was digging up some information about Black Christmas, I was reminded. I was like, why do I know Hart House?
Uh-huh.
And now it's all coming together.
All coming together.
I also think it's worth mentioning that Harris shot the film Murder by Phone, which was from 1982, about a disgruntled phone employee that invents a device that kills anyone who answers the telephone. Hmm. And there's a murder within this movie involving a Mickey Mouse telephone, and it is high up on my list of best cinematic deaths. I seriously want to know if the mouse is aware that his phone was utilized in this manner, because I feel he would be very upset.
Yes.
You might want to watch that flick, old chap. Because now that you have a phone and all, you don't want to go ruffling the feathers of the wrong people.
You're right. I'm adding it to my watch list. Sounds comforting.
Your first call. Now remember, just play along, Doctor. You don't want to get on their bad side.
Okay.
I want you to name this song.
Pop Goes the Weasel.
You popped it right on the head! Yeah. Now, what's the difference between a weasel, an easel, and a measle? What's a measle?
A measle is one of many possible measles, I guess.
Oh, that's all right. Now, if there is such a word as measle, it's the singular of measles, is that right? Or am I too rash? Now, what's an easel?
Okay, an easel is like a stand where an artist can place a canvas that they're working on.
Good enough. An easel is a frame to support a painter's canvas or on which to place an object of art or a painting. That's what you said, isn't it? Yeah, sure. Now, what is a weasel? This one's very easel.
A weasel is an annoying person who bothers people and tries to ruffle their feathers.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
As a slang expression, you're absolutely right. Although a weasel is really a small, four-legged animal. But that's very good, Miss Lawson. Thank you.
What in the blue blazes was that all about?
Why did I just get a call from Kay Kaiser? Like, is there a block function on a rotary phone?
Sadly, no. The real question is, would you rather a call from Kay Kaiser or the dude that calls the ladies in Black Christmas? Mm. Luckily for you, I have a recording here of one of the calls for you to listen to.
Hello? 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 Hey, quiet! It's him again! The Mona!
So creepy. You know, as much as I'm disgusted and chilled by this Mona, as Jess calls him, somehow I can tolerate lewd remarks more than annoying antics, so...
Yeah, I mean, all in all, Kay's pretty harmless.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe the spirit of Kay Kaiser may, in fact, be worse than a serial killer. Like, when you really think about it. Like, just think, when he visited the morgue here in episode 31, mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure if I shut that lid properly on his coffin, so I do apologize that his phantom is now running amok and apparently has eyes for you.
So I'm going to be seeing ghosts wearing graduation caps and gowns in every corner now.
Yep, and he'll be asking you so much useless trivia. So the cast of Black Christmas, let's get back to our cheerful conversation. It's absolutely stacked with badass babes as well as iconic slays. Who's your favorite character in this flick?
That is such a hard question to answer. I kind of love everyone here, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Jess. I love how she always answers the phone so aggressively. Hello? I don't know. Olivia Hussey is so great, and she's played some iconic characters. So let's think about it. We have Juliet. Yes. The Virgin Mary. Yes. Rebecca and Ivanhoe. Yes. But I know you love her most when she plays Mother Bates in Psycho 4. But who's your favorite character?
You know, I completely forgot she is in Psycho 4. And now, oh my god, I have to go back and rewatch it.
I think we should rewatch it to see.
Yes, yes. We should actually do all the Psychos on the Crypt at some point.
That'd be delightful.
I feel it's one of those series people just don't really know how great it is. As a franchise.
I agree.
Well, as for my favorite character in Black Christmas, I have to go with Margot Kidder. Mm. I am a huge fan of hers, and as you may recall, I did a bit of an examination on her career in episode 37, in which I uncovered the 1979 flick, The Amityville Horror. Connection. I love her as Barb in this movie. She's blunt, no nonsense, always has a whiskey. Like in every scene, she is drinking whiskey. And I love her disrespect to the police. She just doesn't give a crap, and she is a treasure, an absolute treasure.
Well, Super Tongue strikes again. Fastest tongue in the West.
That was sick.
I really don't think you should provoke somebody like that, Barb.
Oh, listen, this guy's minor league in the city. I get two of those a day.
Maybe. But you know, that town girl was raped a couple of weeks ago.
Darling, you can't rape a townie.
You really are too much, Barb.
Oh, come on. This is a sorority house, not a convent.
I'll see you later. I'm gonna go pack.
I agree. I also love her character. And also her outfit. Like, at the first time we see her, this would be a grandy Halloween costume. You know what? Actually, I'm not waiting for Halloween. I'm just going to wear this outfit all holiday long.
Yeah, there's actually quite a number of the characters in this movie that just have great wardrobes.
I agree.
I have to note this. There's even a scene where Barb is seen giving a child a sip of whiskey. Because they have, like, little kids come over for, like, a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
How is she loose with children? Wild. I don't know. I think, though, my favorite part of her character is her interactions with the police, because they are portrayed so accurately. Like, they're just a bunch of buffoons. They don't believe these women. And... Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I'm not going to lie, I do have a soft spot for John Saxon as Lieutenant Ken Fuller. He was just such a great character actor.
I do, too. Cops? No. But Saxon? Yes. And actually, one of my favorite movies I watched this year was 1956's The Unguarded Moment, where he plays a truly menacing student. Highly recommended if you haven't seen it. But anyway, I'm always happy when Saxon shows up, even when he plays a menace or a cop.
Yeah, I've never heard of that movie. He must have been fairly young in it.
He was very young. It might have even been one of his first roles. Check it out.
Yeah, I definitely will. I agree with you, though. It's nice to see him when he shows up on screen. No matter the movie, he shows up. You know, he delivers, and I appreciate that.
I agree.
I also have a soft spot for the house mother, Mrs. McHenry, played by Marion Waldman.
Mm-hmm.
I like some of her, like, flashy ensembles and hats. And when she first enters into the sorority house, she comes in kind of like a Cruella de Vil. Like, she has all of these packages, and she's in this weird coat. And she has, like, a cigarette holder dangling from her mouth. It's just, it's incredible.
What a way to make an entrance. You know, when I was watching it, I feel like they must have had our beloved bestie, Ruth Gordon, in mind with this character. Did you get that vibe at all?
Definitely that type of vibe from the character. Mm-hmm. And I also like how she's just one of the girls living there.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be in charge, but...
Love it.
There's one scene in particular where she's wearing, like, a sweater vest, and it reminds me of a vest I have with a Mr. Peanut logo on it.
Ooh.
And I was very pleased that, you know, apparently I was probably influenced by Mrs. McHenry. I had to be.
Had to be, yeah.
But it's quite nifty. This lady has... Flair. She also has so many places to hide boobs. Places I would never think of in my life. One of them is in a hideaway book that it looked like she cut. I think she cut that book.
She made it. That was a homemade hideaway book.
And then the toilet tank. Now that I don't approve. I don't. That's gross.
I love her, and I love when she gives the dad the tour of the sorority house, and he is just so appalled by the youthful counterculture artwork and what have you, and she casually, like, kind of leans on the door to cover a nude poster. She just wants this guy out of here, and he does not want his daughter drinking or talking to boys, so is shocked that this happens in college. Anyway, she does not care one bit about dad, and I love it. She's a treasure.
Yeah, I do love the way that she handles the father taking him on this grand tour, but also definitely trying to hide a lot of what's going on there. Do you have a favorite Black Christmas kill?
I do. I would have to go with the first kill. So Claire with the plastic dry cleaning bag. It's the one that scared me the most. In fact, it's so iconic that growing up, my best friend's mother was just so obsessive overprotecting us youngsters from even touching a dry cleaning bag in the closet because she knew someone who died from one. And that's all she said. So you can imagine as a child, that was horrifying to hear. And I couldn't understand how that would happen. Like, did the bag attack her? I didn't get it. So years later, I asked her about it. And this person she knew ended up being Claire from this movie. So she did not know this person at all. So you can see how the trauma from that kill has a ripple effect. Outstanding. How about you? What's your favorite kill?
Wow, that is just wild. So this person really like felt then like she knew Claire.
Yep.
Wow.
Wild.
My grandparents, whenever we stayed with them, they had a weird thing about plastic bags.
Yep.
They would not let my brother and I near them.
Don't touch.
And I feel there was even a moment once, because my grandmother was something. I think she stuck her head in a bag to, like, show us what would happen.
Oh.
Yeah. There's reasons I am the way I am.
Wow.
As for the kills, I actually think Margot's death, Barb, her death scene is pretty gnarly. The way the killer sneaks into her room.
Yeah.
And then stabs her to death with a glass unicorn figurine. One of her prized possessions. It gives me chills for a couple reasons. One, I do have this fear that someone will stab me when I'm sleeping. I think about it sometimes, like before I'm falling asleep. What if somebody comes in here?
Oh.
You know, because you're totally defenseless.
Very true.
And then secondly, I imagine, what if one of my dolls was used to end my life? I mean, that would probably be the most tragic, possibly quite fitting ways that I could die.
I mean, sometimes I do worry about that angry doll.
Yeah, I do have to keep him under close surveillance. I actually put one of those, I think they're called air trackers, so that I can track him on my phone and see where he is.
You gotta be safe.
Yes. There is truly something unsettling about all of these events occurring at such a merry time of year. Like, there's Christmas carolers outside, people are supposed to be happy, and it's all so unexpected. Who would do something like so nefarious on Christmas?
Maybe you want to answer it this time?
I would prefer not to. I don't think I... It's not meant for me, old chap.
Okay. Hello?
I want you to name this song and tell us from what picture it's taken.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Correct. As off to work we go. Is that song from Gulliver's Travels, Snow White, Pinocchio, or Gone with the Wind?
It's from 1985's The Dirt Bike Kid, starring Peter Billingsley.
No, now take another guess. Don't let this get you Disney. Go ahead, take another guess. Students!
Snow White!
That's right. Hi-ho was the marching song of Snow White's little friends, the Seven Dwarfs. Now, can you name three of the Seven Dwarfs?
Okay. Sneezy.
Sneezy. I wonder how he got there. Now, two more. Oh, boy, boy, boy.
Happy.
Happy. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're doing fine. Sneezy and happy and one more.
Dopey.
What are you looking at me for? Just for that, you have to sing. The song is My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. And in case you are nervous, oh, by the way, here are the words to the song.
I believe something is wrong with the connection, sir. Okay, no more phone calls. I'm retired.
Well, old chap, you know the rules. There's at least one more call. Three calls. Now, unless he decides to call on Christmas Day to wish you well, imagine, though, if you have nightly phone calls with Kay. How absolutely magical for you. I mean, my gift, this present, it would just keep on gifting.
Right now, it kind of feels more like a countdown curse. Kind of like The Ring.
Oh, yeah. You gotta watch out for VHS tapes. Maybe next year I'll get you one of those, a VHS tape.
No, thanks.
Okay, well, let's get back to important matters here. Slays. And I mean kills. Before we were rudely interrupted, I want to talk more about murder.
Yes, there are a number of kills. So we talked about Barb and Claire. What was another one that you remember?
Well, I'll get to this one later, but Peter's death is quite something. Mrs. McHenry.
Oh, yeah.
I feel she really gets it, too. I feel like she ends up in the attic.
She's up there in the attic?
There's weird things in that attic.
Yes, there is. Definitely.
Jack in the box. Like stuff that, like, why is that in a sorority house?
Do we think that the stuff is still in the attic of that house?
I don't know. I digress. I mean, something I do want to note here is that according to Bob Clark, the script did have the killings written as being more graphic. But while shooting, there was a decision made to tone them down as they felt they were more effective that way. And I have to agree.
Yeah, I think generally I'm usually of that opinion. So, like, while I do enjoy body horror pictures or, like, gross outs, when it comes to actually being scared, let our brains do the hard work.
I agree. I also am all for, like, body horror gross out things when it's practical effects.
Yes. Key.
Yes. When it's CGI, blood, don't interest me.
Nah.
Don't show me the monster. Let it just be a shape, a shadow. It's much more scary that way. I always find the less you show in terms of murder, the scarier it is. It's, as you said, you're allowing the brain to do the work and you're letting your imagination run amok, which causes me to get super scared.
Yep, I've been there. My brain is very adept at conjuring up horrifying situations. It's such a blessing, as you know.
Well, the funny thing is, Bob didn't even consider this to be a slasher. He felt it was more of a psychological thriller, especially given the way the mystery man is toying with the ladies on the phone, causing them to go into paranoia.
Huh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, I guess I see his line of reasoning. I think I'd like to call it both. It's a fantastic slasher and psychological thriller.
I'll allow it. I agree. I think it is a blend of the two genres or styles of film. And another little tidbit on the flick. Did you know they were supposed to air this on network TV in late January 1978? However, right before they were supposed to do so, on January 15th, three women were murdered in a sorority house by an unknown assailant. And after this horrific incident occurred, the network decided to pull the plug, not air the flick, and eventually it was found out that the killer was identified as Ted Bundy.
What? Oh God, that is so freaky.
I also wonder how they would have aired this movie on TV. I imagine it would have had to be cut up. I mean, there's so many scenes, I don't think you could get away with airing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I truly love that the screenwriter, Roy Moore, developed the whole concept of Black Christmas from an urban legend known as the babysitter and the man upstairs. And this dates back to the 1950s when a teen, Janet Christman, was killed by a mystery man at the house she was babysitting for. Janet had tried calling the police, but due to her screams, they never got the address. And when the husband and wife returned home, the porch light was on, front door unlocked, and her body was found. And the case still goes unsolved. And from this, the urban legend was born and would continue to grow legs, especially with several depictions in film.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, no.
Well, the final round is over, and the judges have decided that the winner of this evening's session of the College of Musical Knowledge is none other than...
Wow, me, the winner. I don't know what to say.
What a session. And now, no more cogitation, it's time for relaxation. So off with your thinking caps, on with your shoes with taps. And like the fella once said, grab yourself a co-ed. What I mean is, come on, chillin', yes, dance.
Just like the fella once said.
Whew. Okay, call number three. I really hope it's done now, but I guess I won?
What did you win?
It's kind of unclear. He didn't really say. Ooh, maybe a bottle of sherry from Mrs. McHenry's stash? Or, you know, I'd really fancy that fella's colorful goalie mask. That was something. But knowing Kay, I'll probably win nothing.
Well, at least you had your three calls. Hopefully... there will be no more disturbances for this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I have really enjoyed our chat, by the way, about Black Christmas. In my opinion, it's an astounding picture. And sure, it would be easy to relegate it as a slasher, but I think there's more going on here. Not only do you have women driving the plot, but there's also an entire subtext that speaks about their right to choose and autonomy with their bodies.
Yep, I think it's a fantastic film, and I agree. It has a lot to say. And of course, we wish that this wouldn't still be an issue 50 years later. Yet, here we are. But thankfully, in the movie, Jess holds her ground. And may I say, Peter is no. Like, the nerve of this guy. You know the scene where he tells her they're getting married? No, monsieur. That is not how it works.
Yeah, he's really dreadful. Which now brings me to the ending. Mm-hmm. I love it so damn much.
I do too. Honestly, anytime someone is forced into the basement in a horror picture, I think of Mother, and it's so comforting. Okay, perhaps Peter wasn't the killer, but oh well. Everyone thinks the killer has been caught and safety is restored, but we know better. And I love how the camera slowly tracks out of the attic window and returns us to the same view of the house from the intro. And then with the phone ringing as a credits roll, oh, it's so good.
It's really unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that she's safe, or do you think that he ends up killing her too?
I think we'll never know.
Yeah. What a picture.
I agree. It's one of my favorite horror pictures, one of my fave Canadian pictures. And actually, now that I think of it, probably just all around one of my fave pictures. I really love this one.
Yeah. It's a great film, and I know that they've tried to remake it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was one in 2006. I haven't seen that one.
Me neither.
But I did see the one from a couple years ago, and mm-hmm. it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it, and a lot of people I felt were very hard on it.
I agree. I thought it was good. It was not the same, but do we want it to be the same? I think it was good, and actually I want to revisit it.
Yeah, I feel like it would be interesting if they did more movies like that, where they're essentially using the title, but just taking a new spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree, like, why do I want to watch the same thing?
Yeah.
If I want to watch it, I'll just put on the 74 version. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, old chap, I think I ought to be finding my way back to the crypt. I don't want to go caught in the sun, my complexion can't handle it, if you know what I mean.
I hear ya. It could be dangerous being out too close to sunrise.
Yes. Before I go, I need a few Christmas tunes to play for my stroll back. I want to keep this holiday spirit going. Mm. Do you happen to have a Christmas mix CD that you can share with me for my Discman?
I do. In fact, here's my gift to you. I happen to have a mix right ready for you. Decorated it myself. Enjoy, my friend.
Oh, well, thanks, old chap. And until next year, thank you very much for having me over, and happy holidays. Good night.
As I make my trek back to the crypt, my creepies, I want to thank you for listening to this strange and unusual Cryptmas special. I truly hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Dr. Carruthers, for not only inviting me into your morgue, but for celebrating Cryptmas with me. I absolutely loved the holiday intro that you came up with, old chap. Black Christmas is now available to watch on a number of streaming services. Check out the wild world of the internets for more information. I personally watched it via a Blu-ray from Shout Factory. Now until next year, goblins and ghouls, have a very merry Cryptmas. And remember, if a ghost comes a-knockin', let them in. They might just be cold and need an extra blankie. I leave you to rest with some of Dr. Carruthers' favorite holiday tunes. Goodbye, film pals.
I wanna meet Santa Claus, a real Santa. I wanna meet Santa Claus, a real Santa. I wanna see Santa Claus, a real Santa.
He wants to meet old Santa Claus.
I took my brother to the department store. He wanted to show Santa his Christmas list. He stood in line and he shook like a leaf. He's only 5 and a half, going on 6.
He said,
is it really Santa Claus? Really, really Santa? Is that really Santa? Really, really Santa? Is that really Santa Claus? Really, really Santa?
Hope he thinks that's Santa Claus.
I picked him up and put him on Santa's lap, and then he pulled the pillow out of his shirt. He yanked the beard right on off of his chin, and in his eyes I could see he was hurt.
He said,
you're not really Santa Claus, really not Santa Claus. You're not naughty Santa Claus, you're really not Santa. You're naughty Santa Claus, you're really not Santa.
He's just helping Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, a real Santa. He's helping Santa Claus, a real Santa. He's just helping Santa Claus, a real Santa.
He's just helping Santa Claus.
He's just helping Santa Claus, a real Santa. He's just helping Santa Claus, a real Santa.
Outside a department store, a gang of kids came over and bought. apologize to the little rich boy. Don't give my brother a Steve Austin outfit. Don't give my sister a cuddly toy. We don't want a jinx or a monopoly money. We only want the real McCoy. Father Christmas, give us some money. We'll beat you up if you make us annoy. Lots of mouths to feed. But if you've got what I have, a machine gun, so I can scare all the kids on the street. Father Christmas, give us some money. We got no time for your silly toys. We'll beat you up if you don't hand it over. We want your bread, so don't make us annoy. Give all the toys to the little rich boy. Remember the kids who got nothing while you're drinking down your wine. Father Christmas, give us some money. We got no time for your silly toys. Father Christmas, please hand it over. We'll beat you up, so don't make us annoy.
Here in Oscar's land, dear. The false. get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together this Christmas. The fireside is blazing bright, we're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Presents and cards are here, my world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright, we're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me, yeah. Shake a hand now. Thank you.
have a blue Christmas.
Night before Christmas, when all through the castle my monsters were having a yuletide hassle. The tree was all trimmed in ghoulish things, like werewolf fangs and vampire wings.
It was a monster's holiday,
but they were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday,
didn't act like good monsters should.
It was a monster's holiday,
they found themselves a new prey.
It was a monster's holiday,
they planned to rob Santa's sleigh. They were making a list and checking it twice. Frankenstein wanted a shiny new trike, a new chain for Janusz, a brace for Igor's back, a speed shaver for Wolfman, a new cape for Drac. They were up to no good. Didn't act like good monsters should. They'd found themselves a new prey. They planned to rob Santa's sleigh. The mummy was to signal from the castle roof at the very first sound of a reindeer hoof. As Santa slid down the chimney wall, the zombies were to make off with sleigh and all. From beyond the moat there arose such a clatter, I jumped to the window to see what was the matter. Like a bolt of lightning it happened so quick, and there in our midst stood old Saint Nick. He began to dig down deep in his sack, and came up with the traction for Igor's back. Drac caught his cape, Frankie's trike made him behave. Even Wolfman was happy, now he can shave.
Monster's holiday,
and all ended well.
Monster's holiday,
and Santa was really swell.
Monster's holiday,
no need to rob Santa's sack. Maybe next year he'll come back. So the children everywhere were spared the grief of losing their presents to a monster sleigh thief. Now the monsters love Santa and say they'll behave and never again rob sleighs or graves. Igor, what do you think of Santa now? Santa ghoul! What was that he said as he drove out of sight?
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-wolf open sleigh. Well, dashing through the snow, where is that reindeer with the red nose? On Donner, on Blitzen, on Dancer and Vixen.
I knew there was something I wanted to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen of the motion picture audience, we've had a lot of fun making our picture, and we certainly hope you've enjoyed it. But there's one thing I want to get clear in your mind. Remember Boris Karloff, Peter Lorre, Bela Lugosi? Well, they aren't really murderers at all. In fact, they are nice fellows and good friends of mine. You know, things like this don't actually happen. It's all in fun. And so we'll be on the air, as usual, next Wednesday night. And until then, we'll be thinking of you. So long, everybody.
Greetings, goblins and ghouls. This is Dan Housen, very nice, very evil. This concludes our trip to the graveyard. Until next descent into the cinematic crypt, be sure to follow your illustrious spooky host, Betsina Belfry, or Belfry, whichever you may prefer, at Cinematic Crypt, so that you never miss a corpse. Yes, join us next time for another trip 6 feet under to pry open a coffin of Hollywood's past, or be cursed.